W-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
When 24-year-old footballer Daniel Cruyff-Freitas attended the birthday party of a former love interest, he expected to enjoy a fun, carefree night where he could blow off some steam. He could never have imagined that this night would take such a sinister, deadly turn, where he would find himself in extreme danger. The following morning, his mutilated and emasculated body was discovered. This is the violent murder of Daniel Cruyff-Freitas.
I'm Emma Kenny. Welcome to Bang to Rights, the deep dive crime podcast, which takes you through some of the most heinous crimes the world has ever seen.
Let's get on with today's case. And bear in mind, like I said, if this is going to demonstrate one thing, it's that something so ordinary can at times become extraordinarily evil. So who was Daniel? Daniel was born on the 24th of January 1994. He was born in Brazil, in Juiz de Fora. He was absolutely gifted at football. I mean, from a really young age. And I'm not going to pretend that I'm an expert in football at all. But I am aware that in Brazil, I don't know, they do tend to create some pretty amazing players. So the actual competition level there is going to be enormous. And to be a young person who stands out in that particular arena and sport, that means you are going to be excellent at it. And that gift is one that so many young men would aspire to mirror. Now, lots of young boys in Brazil have those aspirations. They want to become a professional football player, as they do in the UK, and I'm sure wherever else these sports are as, shall we say, valued and revered as they are over here and in Brazil. He, in spite of the fact that, like I said, there were all these other young people wanting to achieve, did actually have the opportunity to do that. He went on to become a professional football player, and that demonstrates commitment, loyalty, dedication, and also a willingness to work hard. It's not enough just to be great at something. You have to want to pursue it and dedicate yourself to doing so. So that gives us an understanding about Daniel's temperament. When he sets his mind on something, he really works to achieve it. In 2007, Daniel joined the Cruzeiro youth football team. That's when he's 14 years of age. And during this time, he does really well. So he basically wins a number of accolades, including the Brazilian youth champion in the junior category. He was also the champion in another three categories. So he is outstanding anyway, because he's achieved what he is achieving at this point, to be, in spite of all the competition, managing to get into a position where he's going to be professional. But add to that the fact that he's actually winning particular categories. He really is someone who in the future would have been likely to create so many amazing opportunities for himself and also for those around him, because the amount of money that you can earn is outstanding when you achieve this kind of status as an adult. We get to 2013, this is when Daniel is 19 years of age, so young adult, and he starts playing for Botafogo as an attacking midfielder. And he actually made his debut coming on as a late substitute in October of that year. So it's a big deal. And then in May 2014, he scored a hat trick. That's incredible. Three goals, one after the other, essentially, in a match. That demonstrates the kind of level he's playing at. And they were actually his first goals for the club. So you can imagine what the opinion of people around him are going to be at that moment in time. I mean, this is a contender, genuinely. Comes on for his first match, scores a hat trick. That's pretty unusual. And it speaks of a confidence and a capability that's very unusual. But sadly, in September of 2014, Daniel actually injures his knee. So understandably, for any football player, that can be pretty catastrophic because it's going to impact on the opportunity to actually play. And obviously, you don't want injuries that can become a problem on a consistent level. So it's really important that he has to end the season early. He has to rest and manage that particular issue. So at the end of 2014, he ends up getting transferred to Sao Paulo and he goes there on a 3-year contract. He's still actually, unfortunately, at this point, suffering from that knee injury. So he can't play very often. And as I said, that injury, because it's a knee, when he's playing, even if he does it for a short period of time, it's going to cause an issue because it's very easy to get inflammation around that area once it's injured. And obviously exercising it regularly is going to exacerbate that to some degree. And indeed, he can't play very often because he is indeed affected by that injury. So then, as happens in lots of situations and circumstances where a player is not playing 100%, he ends up getting loaned to teams including Curitiba, Ponte Preta and São Bento over the next few years. So you can imagine that he's going through quite a disappointing time and quite a psychologically challenging time because he's obviously incredibly gifted, but being blighted by an injury like that and then quite a lot of transitions in the clubs that he's at doesn't give him the kind of security that you're going to be aiming for as a football player. And he's probably feeling frustrated because he has the capacity and ability, but this injury is preventing him from fulfilling those things as he had hoped that they would. We get to 2016. At this point, Daniel starts, as many young men will be doing at this point, looking for girls. And he ends up speaking to a girl called Alana Britz. This is on social media. Now, he's 22 at the time and she's 16 years of age. I will say, I think that's quite a gap. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Daniel, and I do appreciate that a lot of 16-year-old girls would consider a 22-year-old guy still within their frame of reference on a cohort level. And I know lots of people have relationships with people with that age gap, but I just think that at 22, particularly when you're 22 and you've been working and living in different areas and playing for different clubs as he has, his life experience is going to be far greater. She's 16, and I understand.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
And that Alana's father, Edison, was quite protective of the reality that there was that age gap and also protective of the fact that his daughter is still very young. So even though they're talking, it does seem as if Edison would have probably preferred the two not to actually have that kind of connection. Maybe because of the age gap, maybe because that guy's more experienced, maybe it's because he's a football player, because even though on one level, football players often earn a lot of money, particularly if they're at a position where they are pro football players. But it can also make you feel as a parent that maybe they're playing the field, because let's be honest, footballers can pick and choose who they want to be with when they're at a certain position. And I'm not saying that all football players go ahead and do that. I'm just saying there's a higher propensity of individuals who have the opportunity to, shall we say, spend time with a variety of individual females, that they'll take advantage of that. So I would imagine that Edison is a little bit reticent to let them be in a relationship together, because he looks at that situation as a parent and thinks, my daughter may get hurt. But in spite of the fact that he's very protective over his daughter, it does end up that the pair eventually meet in person. They attend a few parties together. But Alana had actually just ended a relationship, and she expressed that it was just far too soon for her to actually start properly dating anyone else. So even though Alana potentially likes him, she obviously is aware that she isn't ready to re-engage, shall we say, in a new relationship. She's not in that position because she's come out of a relationship pretty recently. Now we get to October the 26th, 2018. This is when Daniel travelled to Curitiba. It was Alana's 18th birthday and he actually personally received an invitation for him to go to her party. It was being held at a nightclub called The Shed Bar. And you actually can see CCTV footage inside the nightclub that showed that the party went on until 4:30 a.m. So obviously it was a big night and a successful night. And when Alana and Daniel and her friends begin to leave, you can also see footage of that. So it seems like everything's gone well that evening. They've probably had a great time. And as happens very often, once the party is over, there's an after party. We've all been to after parties, haven't we? Some of us have left after parties, maybe about 11 o'clock the following day, with a lot of eyeliner down our face, wondering where we are and hoping that on the way back, there'll be some kind of, I don't know, food truck selling something that I can stuff my face. Is that just me? Probably is just me. It's not just me and Dr. Nyack. You all know. You all know. You've been in those situations where all you're hoping for is like some genie out of some kind of lamp to appear and grant you three wishes. And the first one, in spite of the fact you could go for world peace, will be something to fill your hungry stomach with. Number two will be world peace. Simple as that. Anyway, some of the guests, including Daniel, go back to Alana's house. And then once back at the house, Daniel begins to message a friend. First of all, he sends a voice note where he's basically saying that he doesn't know where he was. And with respect, that's normal because you've had a lot to drink, potentially. You're a little bit bleary-eyed. You've gone back to somebody's place, but you don't necessarily know exactly where that place is. But he also goes on to say that in one room, there's a sleeping woman, and in another room, there's a sleeping girl. So he's specifically identifying that one is an older female, one is a younger female. And then he also texts the friend saying, "I'm going to devour the mother of the birthday girl." And he also sends pictures of himself in bed next to a sleeping Christiana. Now, nobody, apart from Daniel and Christiana, know what was happening in that moment. They're the only two people in this world that know. But essentially, he is physically in bed next to her. For whatever reason, I can't tell you. It could be that she'd invited him into the bed. It could be that he had gone in without her knowing. But essentially, he's taking pictures of himself in bed. And I do appreciate that for some young men that might seem quite funny, but if the person is indeed asleep, it's without their consent, and to some degree that's a violation, because you don't want, as a female, for some random guy to be sending photographs of you when you're vulnerable and asleep to an unknown person. Now Daniel's friend immediately responded to warn him and said the guy is gonna come and beat you up. And then Daniel sent another text which read, "I ate her." Now, clearly that's got a sexual connotation. The word "I ate her up" is clearly to do with that kind of connection. But again, it could well be that Daniel is just writing this to his friend to try to seem like he's scored, essentially. It doesn't demonstrate that he's actually done anything, and it doesn't demonstrate that there's been any sexual contact whatsoever. But again, isn't appropriate to be texting a friend, even if you had actually had a sexual contact with a person with consent. The reality is, why would you be sharing that information with your friend? It's really immature, it's totally unnecessary, and actually it'd be really offensive to the other party, even if you were in a consensual situation. You don't want somebody doing that. We get to 11 a.m. on the 27th of October 2018, and the most horrific thing is discovered, because Daniel's body, this guy who's just been at a party, has just been texting his friend, was apparently having a good time, is suddenly dead. And his body is discovered in a bush in a pine plantation in the town of San José dos Pinhais. His body couldn't actually be immediately identified, and there are reasons for that, but he was basically wearing a Shed Bar wristband from the night before, so obviously that gives the investigators an immediate connection. It means that they can check exactly who had gone to that club, which will ideally lead to whoever this is as far as the body is concerned. So that provides a lead for the investigators. And immediately when they find the body, they can tell he's been terrorized. He's been really badly beaten up. But even worse than that, his penis has been cut off and it's actually been thrown up into a tree. Now, when you see a crime like that playing out, you're immediately drawn to, first of all, the obvious, which is that it's a tortuous typology. So to cut somebody's penis off, it involves a certain amount of emasculation, clearly, but also it says something about dominance. It says something about humiliation. Not just enough to beat the person and kill the person, you literally have to remove their manhood. And whether it's before or after, to some degree it's irrelevant, it's the same gesture. It's basically being an individual who steals the very essence of who that person is as a man. Because like it or otherwise, that particular area of the male body and genitalia, it is what embodies masculinity for so many men. And to cut it off, yes, it's utterly torturous, but it's also highly disrespectful. It's highly humiliating. So this is personal. You're not doing that unless it's personal. You feel that that person is deserving of this kind of attack, this kind of action. Now, even though they can see that that will have caused injury, what they actually determine his death actually to have been caused by is to a stab of the neck. So he's been stabbed in the neck, but I mean, this is no ordinary stabbing of the neck. It was so severe that he'd partially been beheaded. So his cervical spine had actually been exposed and the upper cervical muscle had been cut through. So absolutely brutal beyond belief. Now, it wasn't actually possible to determine whether the removal of Daniel's penis had happened before or after. What they do believe and err on the side of is that it probably happened after his death, because there's very little clotting of the blood in that area. And actually what we know when people are injured down there is a lot of blood. There is a lot of blood. I know too much about this for my own actual peace of mind. The fact that I can say that, it worries me, but it's true. I do know that when it's injured down there, it's a lot of blood. Bloodbath, in fact. Also, there was more significant blood loss from the neck wound compared to that genital wound. But even though that's how I believe it would have played out, and that's certainly, I think, more how the medical investigators considered this to have happened, you can't rule it out. It isn't absolutely possible to rule out that that horrific, brutal act could have happened whilst he was still alive. And like I said, it's about domination, it's about humiliation, it's about stealing the very essence of his masculinity. And also, it speaks of somebody who's feeling incredibly rageful and the sexual organ is pivotal within it. When it comes down to gang torture and killings, sometimes we will see penises removed, put in the person's mouth, and that's about humiliation and disrespect. It's about, as I said earlier on, stealing the manhood of that individual. It's less about sexual motivation and more about the worst thing that could happen to a man happening. So that's why they will play those out in torturous situations. Alternate to that, it comes down to a rage against that area because there is something attached, blame-orientated-wise, to that specific organ. So what that says to me is that the perpetrator who did this is really angry with that sexual organ.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
And that's likely because the person feels that Daniel has done something inappropriate with it or had an inappropriate relationship with it that connects back to the individual who's carried out the crime. Now, it doesn't take long for Daniel's mum, Eliana, to become worried about her son. She's been trying to contact him. She hasn't been able to get through to him. It's very unusual. It's out of character for her boy. So she actually texted Alana because she thinks, well, it's likely that she'll know where he is. Alana replies, says, well, he was fine when I last saw him. He left my house around 8 a.m. in the morning. And she actually said he just got up, said goodbye and left. And then she wrote, let's have faith. It will be all right. Just going to throw it out there, guys. Honestly. Just going to throw it out there. Throwing it out there. If my friend's mum texted me and was like, I don't know where Sally is. Have you heard from Sally? I'd be like, no, I haven't heard from Sally. But she was fine this morning about 8 o'clock. And then you'd expect the conversation to be like, okay, fine. See you later. To which I'd respond, yeah, I'll text her as well and let me know if you hear from her. I wouldn't be like, let's have faith it will be all right. I'd be like, whoa, what the hell do you think's happened to my friend or my daughter or my son? You wouldn't expect that kind of response. Because as far as she's concerned, Daniel was fine at 8 a.m. So why on earth would she feel the need to say to his mother, let's have faith it will be all right? It sounds like there's a level of impending doom in that message, doesn't there? Now, once the news that Daniel's dead becomes public, Edison actually texts both Eliana and a friend of Daniel's to actually offer sympathy upon hearing of his death. Which you'd imagine, at the end of the day, his daughter's close to Daniel and this guy's now turned up dead. So it wouldn't be unusual for the father of the friend of the man who's died to actually contact the family and just say how sorry he is. I mean, at the end of the day, I'd do that. It's horrific when a young person is found in such a torturous and horrific way, and you would want to extend your sympathies. And audio from a phone call that was made by Edison was also leaked, and that's where he says that Daniel was a good friend to Alana, also who said, he came from far away just to come for her birthday. He was a very dear person to us. He also said that Daniel had left their home alone, very drunk, and that they didn't see anything else. So he's suggesting that when it comes down to a relationship with Daniel, he was a great guy. He was somebody that made an effort with his family. He was somebody that obviously shouldn't have been murdered in such a horrific way. And he's also somebody that he knows nothing about as regards what happened to him after he left their place drunk. But there doesn't seem to be any malice in that conversation. Actually, genuine sympathy about this poor young man who's been murdered. Now, breaking the case comes when a witness comes forward who actually tells the police that they know what actually happened to Daniel and that essentially Christiana was in bed with Daniel and Edison discovered them. And from that point, he basically went crazy. And that's how Daniel ended up getting so badly injured. And obviously there were more people involved because it turns out that not only one person could have carried out the attack. So from that point, the police are now aware that it's Edison who's the main culprit in this situation. But then we get to October the 31st, 2018. At this point, Christiana's arrested in relation to Daniel's murder. So Christiana is obviously Edison's wife. She says that she'd woken up in bed with Daniel on top of her. And apparently she'd woken up finding him with an erect penis sticking out of his underwear. And apparently he was rubbing against her. So she is now suggesting that there's been a sexual violation against her by Daniel. And then on the next day, on November the 1st, Edison and Alana are arrested. So now this family are all under suspicion for the brutal murder of Daniel. Edison Breitz, who's Alana's father, he actually confessed to the murder during a TV interview. And he said the reason that he'd done it is he'd heard Christiana shouting, help me. So he hears his wife. She's asking for help. He He's obviously, as a partner, going to go and attend. He arrives at the bedroom door. It's locked. So he just breaks it open using his shoulder. And then he finds Daniel in bed on top of his wife attempting to rape her. So at this moment in time, he's incandescent with rage. You can't believe it. This young man, this young footballer, is literally, as far as he is concerned, attempting to violate her in the most heinous of ways. So then he and some friends, they beat Daniel up in the bedroom of the house. What bothers me about that bit? Why were the friends suddenly available? And why were they so willing to just beat him up? If I were to walk into a scene where I found an individual who was trying to violate my wife or my husband, and I physically had people around me that could restrain and dominate that person, there is a very simple thing that you do. You call emergency services. You've got them banged to rights. They're going nowhere. You're physically strong enough and you're mentally strong enough in that moment to keep that person in your presence until the police arrive. But that's not what they do. In that moment, yeah, you'd be horrified. But would you think about beating somebody up really badly and then placing them in the boot of your car? Because that's exactly what he did. He also said he wasn't actually sure whether Daniel was unconscious at this point. But for Daniel, it must have been horrifying. It must have been truly terrifying. The idea that this group of men are beating him so badly that potentially he could be unconscious, but if not, he'd be aware that he'd been carried to a car and placed in a boot. He described himself in that moment as being absolutely desperate. He said he didn't know that he was going to do it. But then he went on to say, I killed him. So he's trying to put across this idea that he just simply wasn't in his right mind. And there is a part of me that would appreciate that, because sometimes people do take the law into their own hands because they genuinely cannot believe that this has occurred and they're just so rageful. However, if he had just killed Daniel at the house, if he'd beaten him in that moment and unfortunately Daniel had lost his life in a crime of passion, that would make more sense. But when we're talking about him actually removing Daniel from the property by placing him in the boot and driving somewhere, there is time to cool down. There is time to rethink. There is time to strategize. There is time to go and actually drop that person off at the police department. There are a lot of opportunities to take a pause. So I don't think you can have that it was a crime of passion. It was a reaction to a very unhappy circumstance that he walked into. That doesn't make sense. There's time. And psychologically, when you have time to pause, to think, to reconsider, and you choose not to, it's because you've made a decision and you feel entitled to carry out whatever punishment you feel that person deserves. Edison also went on to say that he had a small knife that he used to keep in the car boot with his tools. So again, we're talking about time here. He's not killed him in the flat. He's not killed him there. No, he's taken him to the car. In the boot of the car is a small knife, which obviously he's going to use because I've already talked about the injury that Daniel suffered. And then he said that he'd done what any man would do. And he went on to say, because the woman that was there was not my wife. She was every woman in Brazil. It could be your wife, your daughter, your sister. At that moment, it was my wife, Chris, with whom I'd been married for 20 years. The woman I dedicate my whole life to. And the sentiments, we understand. Much like if I imagine walking in and somebody's abusing my child, what I would wish to do to them. But the reality is, if by doing that, you take yourself away from your family, if by doing that, you take somebody else's life, which is not comparable to what we're talking about when we're thinking about the fact that there is a possibility that Daniel was rubbing his penis up against Christiana, which is wrong, without a shadow of a doubt, it's wrong, but it's not in line with actually murdering this man, cutting his penis off and almost decapitating him. That isn't consistent with the reality of what Edison is trying to put across and convey. Because unfortunately, rape happens, it's horrific. But if the amount of men were murdered who actually raped, well, there'd be a lot less men. I'm going to put it out there. Because unfortunately, even though we don't try lots of rapes, because they never get to a point where the CPS in the UK and in other countries it'll be similar, where they never get brought to court, it's still something that happens, unfortunately, more regularly than most of you would ever dare to imagine. So you can't just take the law into your own hands, even though it's frustrating and you wish you could. And logistically, it's absolutely unacceptable to carry out the injuries that we're talking about where Daniel is concerned, no matter how much you love your wife. Now, it's believed that the call that Edison made, where he's complimenting Daniel, was basically made in order to trick the police because they wanted to divert suspicion away from himself. It's also suspected that Alana already knew that Daniel was dead when she was texting his mother, which is probably why she was being a little bit overdramatic and saying, like, I'll pray for him type thing. It's a way of making them feel, oh, she really cares about my son, when in fact she knows what's happened to him. So she was reassuring his mother and lying about seeing Daniel leave the house of his own accord because she was covering her tracks. And again, where I struggle with that is if Daniel had been murdered at the flat, and the family had then acted on that by calling the emergency services, and of course Edison would have been arrested, and of course he would have been tried, but there is a far stronger likelihood that they would have given him a level of leniency, bearing in mind what he is meant to have seen, and bearing in mind what Christiana would have said, which is, this man was violating me. At what point does a family decide that a better course of action is to firstly allow Daniel to be driven away, and secondly, then try to cover the tracks? Because arguably it means you want to get away with murder and you're all complicit. Each and every party there becomes culpable when they are willing to cover up a crime, even if that crime, as far as they are concerned, is one deserving of what's occurred. The reality is they are now wasting the police investigators' time, but also they are harming Daniel's family. Because Daniel's family want to know what's happened, how this is played out, and why their son is dead. And arguably, when you're covering your tracks and preventing...
Legends, the greatest social casino experience, has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Not being uncovered, clearly, that's going to lead to more pain for the family of the individual who's deceased. Now, because Edison has actually confessed now to the killing, he shows investigators where he'd taken Daniel and where he'd dumped his body. He also pointed out bloodstains on the ground, but he didn't immediately point at the correct place where Daniel's body was discovered. That could be because he genuinely was confused and disorientated and was dealing with what had actually occurred, because a normal day had become completely abnormal. It could be, of course, that somebody else was helping him or actually disposed of the body without him present. He also went on to say that he was the only one who actually murdered Daniel. He took the full blame for it. And he said that he was the person who dragged Daniel's body by himself, but he was lying because it was found that Daniel had actually been carried by more than one person. The reason they know that is because the dorsal, thoracic and thigh injuries on his body were consistent with that. So they know at least two people carried him. And police actually suspected that another three people, in addition to Edison, had participated in beating Daniel up. When the police went and looked at where he'd initially been attacked, police found blood splatter in the master bedroom, and that aligned with the account that Daniel was beaten up there, They also found traces of blood in the garage and in the car, and that they also noticed looked like it had been cleaned up. So the family had tried to cover the tracks in more ways than one. The bedroom door, yes, that was actually broken, but they don't know when the damage actually was occurred, because it could deliberately have actually been broken off after Daniel's murder, because that would then confirm the family's version of events. But it was actually also reported in a later police interview that Edison said he'd actually entered the bedroom through the window. So that raises inconsistencies in his account. Why would you say on one level that you'd broken into the bedroom by forcing it open and then say that you climbed through the window? It's a very strange thing to change. To me, if in an interview later you're saying that you actually climbed in through the window, the likelihood is that's the one that's true, because it's so different to what you've initially said. And often over a period of time, when we've admitted whatever's happened, we start to actually tell the reality of what played out. So it could be that indeed he did get in through the window. Also, another four people, that's David Da Silva, Eduardo Da Silva, Igor King, and Evelyn Brisola Peroso, they were also arrested in connection with Daniel's death. So David, Eduardo, and Aya were all accused of participating in the beating of Daniel and also helping to try to cover up the crime. Evelyn was responsible for procedural fraud, as she had genuinely helped to try to remove the evidence of the murder by cleaning up the blood. But she admitted to that, and she made an agreement to do community service as her punishment. Now, the detective who was investigating this case, so Detective Trivison, they actually interviewed the witnesses as part of the investigation. They don't believe Edison's story at all. They think that he made up the tale of what happened on the night of Daniel's murder and also told the other witnesses to back up his version of the story. He doesn't believe that an attempted rape took place at all. In fact, says, "We believe the Britt's family begun by lying and inventing a story in an undisputed procedural fraud and coerced witnesses to support their claims." So Detective Trevison just believes that Edison's version of events don't add up, full stop. So first of all, they consider that Daniel was probably incapable of rape. And the reason that they've come to that conclusion is because when they did the toxicology reports, it showed that he was very drunk. No one could easily argue that realistically he could still rub his penis on someone. I mean, the idea that you can be so inebriated that you're incapable of actually having sex, that's one thought process. But you know, a lot of women and men in relationships with men will be able to tell you that even when they are very, very inebriated, asleep it would seem at times, they can get a little bit frisky. So it's not true, as far as I'm concerned, to say that it would be impossible for him to not be rubbing his penis on someone. It could be possible he was. However, one thing that is clear is that no one heard Edison breaking down the door. And you would imagine that if a door gets broken down, you're going to hear it. You're going to hear that noise. And the other big inconsistency is absolutely no one heard Christiana screaming for help. Now, that's the whole point, isn't it? That she's screaming for help when she's supposedly being sexually assaulted. And that's what gets him to the scenario where he ends up killing Daniel. He also said that Edison's brutal murder of Daniel, even if it were a response to an attempted rape, was disproportionate. And that's what I was saying earlier on. It is disproportionate. I appreciate how any partner would feel if something so grotesque happened to somebody that they loved. I get it. But that's why we have law. That's why we have the police. That's why we have people come to these situations and arrest those individuals. And clearly, if Christiana is in a position where she's screaming, well, that would mean that Daniel would be in a scenario where he was dominating her and that she was probably fighting him off, which is not consistent with he was rubbing his erect penis against me. That's very, very different. If he was so inebriated, but he's still managing to, shall we say, use that area of his body to rub against her, get out of bed. Sorry, but that's what you do. Get out of bed. You'd have to be restrained. You'd have to be being physically dominated in that moment to need to scream for help. So again, I understand why the detective in this case feels like that doesn't necessarily add up. if you are a victim of a sexual assault, it is the most horrific and terrifying experience to ever go through. If you freeze, understandably, women do and men do during these circumstances, that tends to be where an individual can't even speak. If you're in a situation where you're being dominated, you'll fight, but a man's strength is often far greater than yours, as particularly if you're female. And so that again is going to mean that they're going to have to be within their right mind to be able to dominate you in such a context. It doesn't add up to some degree that Christiana is saying that she was being violated to a point where she is literally screaming unless he is physically really in control of her. And that wasn't her story initially. It's that he had an erect penis and he's rubbing it against her. So like I said, I understand why they struggle to make sense of how this is meant to have been played out. And don't get me wrong, for a guy to be in bed next to you, rubbing his penis against you when you've not invited it, that is a sexual violation. It's illegal. You should be absolutely in trouble for doing that with the police and with the appropriate laws that you've broken and violated. But that's very different, obviously, to when somebody is actually abused in a rape scenario where somebody literally is violently attacked, held down, and literally violated on every level. And I'm not trying to minimize an experience where somebody has a guy do something really creepy like rub his penis up against you. How dare he? It's disgusting, it's disgraceful, and you can feel traumatized by it. But it is not what we're talking about when it comes down to being compared with a vicious, violent rape. It's awful, but it's not the same. So Christiana isn't saying initially that that's what he had done. And like I said, the detectives struggle with that because they're trying to understand why he would carry out such an attack for what Christiana has actually initially complained of, albeit that she has an absolute right to complain about that violation. Prosecutor João Milton Salles, he said that Christiana thought that taking the actual picture was a harmless joke. So basically when he's prosecuting Edison, he's saying Christiana was in on this, it was just a bit of fun, and she allowed Daniel to do that. So at the end of the day, he thinks it's okay to go ahead and take that photograph. But I struggle with this. Like I said, what I think's happened is totally disproportionate. Daniel should still be alive today. There is no doubt about that. But I do think that the prosecutor is incorrect. Christiana must have known what Edison was like. If you know that Edison has the potential to get that angry and rageful, if a guy is doing anything to you, anything with you, you're not going to encourage him to take a photograph of you, because then that becomes potentially public domain and the consequences and ramifications of that can be very, very dangerous. So why, if she knows the character of her husband and his basically violent personality, would she allow that to happen? She'd realise that that joke wouldn't have been taken very well. So whilst the prosecutor is arguing this point, she claims that she genuinely wasn't in on any joke with Daniel. And as far as she was concerned, she didn't even know it happened. And I've got to be honest, the picture does look like she's asleep or unconscious. So she doesn't look like she's actively involved in that photograph. It's not like they're both in bed and she's having fun. It's not like she's got a look on her face where she's involved in the joke. And it's not like she looks like she's pretending to be asleep. It does seem that she isn't actually conscious at the time. Now, even though the prosecution said that they believe that Christiana didn't actually try to prevent the attack on Daniel, the Brit's lawyer, her lawyer, Claudio Dalladon, disagreed with it. They say that the witnesses did hear Christiana crying for help, and they feel that she wasn't crying for help to stop Daniel attacking her. She was screaming to try to stop Edison attacking Daniel. And that makes perfect sense, because she's probably going to feel that this is becoming an extreme fallout from whatever's played out before. And the consequences for her are going to be huge. And the consequences for Edison are going to be huge, as well as Daniel. So even though Daniel is clearly getting attacked and she would want that to stop, psychologically, her motivation is likely to protect Edison. She doesn't want him to harm Daniel to a point where there are really severe consequences for her, him, and the family. So I think that is very clear in that moment. She wants him to stop beating up this young man. And one of the other things that is concerning about what happened to Daniel is that when people talk about his character, people struggle to believe that he's the kind of individual who's capable of doing the things that he's been accused of. So Daniel's teammates at Sao Bento, they said he was a really shy guy. He was really modest. They described him as super responsible. They said he didn't often drink. They said he didn't go out partying. He preferred to stay at home. So they were blindsided by the events of the night of his death. They were also blindsided by the amount he'd apparently drank. And one of his friends said, listen, we did often send photographs to one another. It was a bit of an inside joke that they'd take a photo of a woman that they were asleep in bed with. I think it's really strange that people do that. Genuinely, I appreciate that they don't think that there's any harm, but I think it's a violation. You should be engaged in that behaviour of your own volition, as opposed to when somebody is taking control away from you because you're asleep. It just speaks to me of something a little bit shady and a little bit creepy. And I also believe that when men are doing that, or women are doing that, but I would hazard a guess that it'll be men more than women, what they're actually saying is, look, I'm in bed with this person. And the intonation is you've had a sexual connection with that person. So you're kind of bragging. And again, when you have an intimate experience, whether that's a one night stand or a relationship, it's about the two of you. It's not about some third party you don't even know who's now got information about you that you might not wish to share. So I don't think that's good behaviour whatsoever that Daniel does, inside joke or otherwise. Like I said, it's a step too far, it's an invasion of privacy, and it's not one that the person consents to. But the argument here is, hey, there was nothing untoward about it, he's just doing what we've done before, it's something that's a bit of a boys' game, and this is something that they've shared with other team players, essentially. Like I said, I don't agree with it, but that's the argument. Now, the Brits' defence lawyers in the building a case, they actually bring in a model called Ludmila Garrido. She's a witness, and the reason that she's a witness is she's there to provide testimony against Daniel's character. You've got all these people saying that Daniel's a really nice guy, he's a really quiet guy. I also want to just caveat, really nice guys and really quiet guys, to everybody else, can still rape. They can still kill.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
We see this play out lots. We see serial killers who are described as really nice, really quiet people. You're not a rapist or a killer 100% of the time. You're a rapist or a killer for like 1% of the time. The rest of the time, you can seem like a really great person. So just because his teammates are saying all these lovely things about him doesn't mean that he hasn't got the capacity to do something horrible. But what I'm trying to get across is, as far as the people who knew him well, Daniel did not strike them in any way, shape or form as being predatory or problematic around women. However, like I said, this model, Ludmila Garrido, she comes in and she gives testimony against Daniel. So her testimony is that Daniel had harassed her in 2012 at a party in a nightclub. He would have been about 18 years of age at the time. The model said that she didn't actually report this. She was scared of her boyfriend finding out and that might have destabilized their relationship. But anybody can claim that stuff, can't they? Look, I'm the first person to say that if a man is guilty of a sexual violation, throw the book at him. I would physically throw books at them just as part of the experience. I would encourage all my friends, family, just a group of people, you might know on social media, to all come and bring a large hardbacked book to throw at the sexual predator. Nothing I would like to do more. Apparently though, it's not illegal to do that. Apparently it comes under some kind of classifications of like grievous bodily harm or bodily assault or whatever else. The point is you just can't go around, even when somebody does this, throwing hardback books at them with a group of other people doing the same. Just saying, as a person, I would throw the book at any sexual predator. However, bringing somebody in to talk about an occasion that there is actually no evidence for, and no one can genuinely link that person with this individual, and to use that as a testimony against the character of an individual who's deceased in such a manner, I'm not sure that that's very appropriate, because it doesn't really feel like a witness coming in and going, he was really not nice to me in a club where I have no evidence for this, and by the way, nobody knows about this, and by the way, I never reported this, even though I'm the victim. And some of you will say, well, lots of women, lots of men don't report violations because they don't think they're going to get taken seriously. 100%. I totally get that. I totally see that. I've lived that. I agree with that. But she's saying the reason that she didn't is because she didn't want a boyfriend to find out. Well, she did nothing wrong. So I feel this is a very tenuous link, if a link at all. Now, Daniel's family, they said, listen, this story of harassment is an absolute lie. And the reason that it was invented, the reason it's brought into court, is to cast a shadow over his honour. And they said that Edison's family had again coerced someone into telling a fake story for them. And the reason for that is they wanted Edison to receive a lenient prison sentence. And I would actually have some sympathy. I don't mean that that's the right thing to do, by the way. It's a terrible thing to do because you are obstructing justice and you are genuinely doing something that's highly illegal because you can't bring a fake witness in. But I also understand that when you love somebody and when you believe that they're a good person, even when they've done something really bad, at times it can lead you to do things that you think are a good idea to try to protect them. So getting somebody to come and say something that's totally untrue to try to cast a better light on the person who's actually going to be receiving a potentially very long term in prison. I understand the motivation, it's wrong, but psychologically I get it, even though it's a terrible course of action to carry out. Now, Edison was actually ordered during the court case to pay £932 a month to support Daniel's 2-year-old daughter, because Daniel had a little girl. Now that support's meant to go on until she's 25 years of age, and she's denied a parent, isn't she, in this? Let's be honest. She's gonna grow up knowing that her father was horribly tortured and murdered. She's gonna grow up knowing that her life could have been so very different because she had a successful dad. Daniel's lawyers say that the death of the little girl has obviously been very affected financially because he'd supported her, and now not only does she not have the financial support, she no longer has a father per se. They also said, quote, she had the right to receive food and to have a dignified life. Edison was charged with homicide, concealment of a corpse, procedural fraud, because obviously cleaning up, etc., and corruption of a minor, and coercion during the process. He remains in prison, and despite the fact that his defence attempted to have him released on house arrest, because they're saying that this was just one of those things that occurred, it was completely outside the frame of reference for his normal behaviour, the reality is, the belief is, where law is concerned, he's a very dangerous person. And even though he still remains in prison, actually everybody else who's arrested in connection to that murder has been released. So Alana, his daughter, she was accused of intimidating witnesses of Daniel's death and was also accused of altering the crime scene. She got released in August 2019. Christiana, she was released on the condition that she would wear an electronic anklet. She also got released in September 2019. And Christiana, after she was released, actually appeared on a televised interview, and she said that she didn't participate in anything. She said, I didn't attack, hit, or kill Daniel. And actually, she just reiterated that she was the victim. And she said, my life was destroyed that day too. My life, in a way, ended that day. I was arrested. I lost practically everything. I lost my dignity, my honour. I was raped as a woman. My family was destroyed. And I do have sympathy with Christiana. I really do. Even if you put her into a category, and some people will do, where she had knowingly and willingly been with Daniel in that bed. Even if she'd had a picture taken while she pretended to be asleep. Even if you make her the Scarlet Woman in that moment. She didn't deserve what happened. Even if she had invited him into that bed, she didn't deserve to have the man that she was married to come in, basically kill him in front of her, and then make her complicit to help with the scene because she's now trying to figure out what the hell do I do? And then she ends up in prison. None of that should have happened, even if she betrayed her husband. I'm not saying that she did betray her husband. I'm saying that that's what some people will believe. But the consequences for her were enormous. And she did lose everything. Because people will believe that she was part of the murder. People will believe that she betrayed her husband. Whatever people think, she has to manage that. She knows the truth. And if she was somebody who actually was more than just violated in the way that I've talked about earlier on, where he was pressing his erection against her, if she was, as she now says, raped, then she's not just a victim of a horrific sexual attack, she's a victim of her life completely crumbling, falling apart in the most enormous of ways. Equally, some people will say that she's just trying to manage reputation by now claiming that she was actually raped and that she was a victim of circumstance as opposed to a part of what played out. Alana, Edison's daughter, who obviously was the person who invited Daniel to the party, she now studies law. She works as an influencer. She frequently posts on her Instagram and she's publicly spoken in support of her father. You know, she is completely on his side. Now, after Daniel's death, Sao Paulo actually had a minute's silence to honour him before a training session. And San Bento gave a statement to offer solidarity with his family and friends. So they are down on the side of Daniel. They aren't buying in to what Edison and his family are saying. They feel that Daniel was the innocent party. It's as simple as that. And it's quite bold. Because usually where cases occur where there has been, shall we say, sexual attack on an individual, they will tend to steer clear of doing any public shows of support because they don't want to offend people who've been sexually violated. Because it's not just about the individual claiming it, it's about all those people who have actually dealt with such a horrific event. So for them to come out publicly and be like, we're doing this, we're going to support Daniel, that suggests that they believe Daniel is the victim end of. Now, this is one of those cases where it's questionable as to which version of the story is actually true. Because obviously, Daniel was said to have been too drunk to actually attempt a rape. But was he actually too drunk to rub an erect penis on Christiana? And he certainly wasn't too drunk to take photographs. So arguably, he did have physical capacity. And Christiana says that that's what happened. And that's what the family stand by. Were his messages to a friend just a joke? Or was it something a little bit more sinister? Could he just have been laying in bed with Christiana and just taking the photographs for fun? Did something happen between Christiana and Daniel that Christiana consented to at the time, but then changed the story to protect her husband? Because the claim of rape would clearly make the attack seem far more justified. But whatever the truth, and there are only certain people in this world who know it, the reality is that Daniel met a horrific, brutal, torturous end at the age of 24. And whatever the motive, there's absolutely no doubt whatsoever that Edison Britz is a very, very dangerous man. It's one of those stories, isn't it? One of those tales that have got so many twists and turns that the truth is sometimes hard to find. But like I said, from what I've interpreted from doing the research, Daniel certainly is the victim in this case. I can't say that Christiana lied about what happened between her and Daniel because we have to trust that she says that she was violated, although, like I said, not violated in the way that she talks about these days, but she said that she felt his penis rubbing against her, and that's horrible. But there is no way that that justifies what happened to this young man. There's no way that literally slitting his throat, cutting off his penis, dumping his body as if it was just something that was so throwaway could ever be justified. And Edison and the family, they all conspired to cover this up. So that in essence suggests that Edison is a very powerful dominant force. And his actions, where Daniel was concerned, verifies.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
That he's a very, very dominant force. In fact, a deadly force in this case. Let me know your thoughts, guys. If you know more about this case, please, please let me know. You have your own ideas about what I've talked about in this case. You may believe that Christiana was horribly violated and actually Edison was justified in his actions. You may feel that she's a liar and that therefore Daniel was murdered in a senseless way for doing absolutely nothing wrong. You may feel that Daniel 100% overstepped the mark. How dare he take a picture of a woman who's sleeping and send it to a friend? At the end of the day, that's a violation. Or you may just feel this is a story of a young man doing absolutely nothing wrong, simply having some physical contact with another female in a consenting manner that ultimately led to another person feeling that he deserved to die.
That's it for Bang to Rights today. Join me for the next episode. See you then. Be safe.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,